welcome to Under the Abbey Stand. On today's pod, what's all this about a terrible home record? The Ewes bring the good times back to the Abbey via a thumping of high-flying Exeter. Is this enough to vanquish the dismal showings against Salford and Macclesfield? We'll discuss all the crucial Cambridge talking points, such as, is it okay to have giraffe goal gifts? Will Andy Dallas ever score an easier goal? Is any game worth flying home from Prague for? Are Grimsby fans ready for more tweets from Tom Walker? And could the Ewes get the easiest FA Cup draw ever? Welcome to the studio, Jordan Warland.
Hello, Jack. Happy Apple Day.
Happy Apple Day. Ryan Johnson is the guest in the studio today.
Hello, hello. I'm pretending to be Julian.
Which is, you're doing a very good job of already. A better job than Julian ever. And of course, the ever-present Tom Walker.
Hello, mate. What a slick intro.
I know. Slick first intro. Time. It also really confused me, the order you were sat in, so I just had to do it in the order that I usually introduce our guests at the end.
Yeah. I like that Ryan said that he's trying to pretend to be Julian. Julian could never grow facial hair as good as this, mate, so...
Or head hair.
Or head hair, yeah.
Jono's got better head and facial hair than Julian. But less about that and more about Cambridge United. And for once, and maybe the first time in certainly a long time, we're going onto this podcast off the back of a win, which is incredible. I don't think any of us can put our hands up and say that we thought yesterday, Saturday's game, was going to be a victory against Exeter, but it turned out to be an absolute drubbing.
Yeah, very unexpected win, wasn't it?
Mm. Yeah, it was very, very much enjoyable. I mean, we managed Exeter's threat really well. They got behind us a couple of times in each half. We weathered the storm and scored exactly the right times.
What do you reckon, where does this rank in the victory since we come back in the Football League?
It's right up there.
It's right up there, yeah.
I'm trying to think of a better one. I'm struggling, to be honest.
Oh, who did we paste at home 7-0?
Morecambe. But
yeah, that was really enjoyable.
You've got to take into account that was Morecambe.
Yeah, Exeter
and this is a genuinely good football team who will probably be there or thereabouts.
This is undoubtedly the best season. Calderwood win.
Yes.
No question about that, but...
Do you think Exeter didn't turn up yesterday, or do you think Cambridge's game management yesterday was just, you know, better than it has been in recent weeks?
Both, to be honest. The goalkeeper in particular is pretty terrible for Exeter. But yeah, like Ryan said, goals at the right times, making the most of chances was something which is quite unusual. And some good performances as well, individual performances from players who perhaps haven't done so far. Elliot Ward specifically, apart from one quite strange attempted tackle in the first half, was pretty excellent yesterday, to be honest, and certainly
nice
stopped them from...
Nice assist for Taft's goal as well.
Yeah.
just on Elliot Ward, I think it's really crucial to point out, as well as Cambridge played yesterday, and there were some, and like not to take away from how well we played and you know the team's performance and individual performances, it's worth pointing out on the note of Elliot Ward, there was a really crucial point at 1-0 where early second half, Exeter got through, sort of looked like it was going to be a goal 1-1, but Elliot Ward from somewhere managed to get back and make an incredible tackle. And it seemed that was kind of the turning point, because from there we went straight up the other end, had a really good chance via Luke Hannon, scored not long after that as well. And it seemed that sort of was the turning point, because it was quite close, the sort of first half and the opening exchanges of the second half. And I don't know, I wonder if that... missed opportunity followed by the quick goal was where Exeter kind of heads dropped and we really sort of turned the screw, as it was.
Yeah, an interesting game yesterday and unexpected, as we say. Just a note on the formation. Is 3-5-2 at home too negative, or are we not playing the right players in the right positions? Open question for the floor.
What was the formation yesterday?
I think it was 3-4-2-1, kind of like a Christmas tree sort of shape, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was interesting. We saw the lineup because it was questions about whether it was going to be a flat back four, but it soon sort of transpired that it wasn't. It was wing backs.
It didn't look like it was a flat back four.
No.
Because if it was, Noyle was very deep.
Well, because of some of the names on the team sheet, so like Duncan Noyle, and Ward and Taft, it looked like it could have been a flat back four, but it wasn't. But I thought it was... I think that one of the crucial points to yesterday and the reason that we won was that we had attacking players in that 3-5-2 sort of formation. Because if you go back a couple of weeks to Macclesfield at home, we had sort of more normal wing backs, as it were. You had Noyle on the right hand side, and it seemed a bit slower and not as attacking. So it seemed quite negative for a home formation, especially against a team. No disrespect to Macclesfield, but a team who you would probably assume that you would beat at home. So yesterday one of the crucial points was that the lineup was more positive and more dynamic and more attacking, and I think that's one of the reasons that we got the victory. I think we kind of, I don't know, at points it seemed like there were six in midfield. Smith seemed a bit isolated up top on his own, which seemed bizarre considering we had two people who were meant to be playing number 10. But I think the fact that we had six in midfield seemed to really overrun Exeter, and that's probably one of the turning points for the game as well.
Jono, what do you reckon? You've got a football in mind. You've managed teams. What do you reckon about Cambridge's formation, and which do you think is best suited home and away, really?
Well, I'd say having Noyle as a centre-half was a bit of a Antonio Conte move with Cesar Azpilicueta. I quite liked Noyle in there because as a wing-back, he doesn't really offer the attacking threat that Duncan Hannant did. I think with the players we've got, 3-5-2 is probably the right formation. Mm-hmm. However much I love a 4-4-2 myself, we've got decent centre-halves, decent centre-mids, not a great deal of fit full-backs or any real wingers in the squad other than really Duncan Hannant. So I think it works well with having those two as your wing-backs because they offer a lot going forward as well.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's been questions, and there always will be, certainly at this level, about which is the right one. But do you reckon this result kind of masks and papers over the bad form and performances, or do you think it's a sign of better things to come, Tom?
Come
on, betting man, Tom.
I don't want to be negative, but I think we've still got to be quite cautious. It seems like there's a good kind of... something's trying to emerge, if that kind of makes sense. Mm-hmm. It looks like a good team is trying to form itself in there, but it's not quite got the consistency yet. But if ever there was a time to start putting that run together, then beating Exeter 4-0 was a pretty good way to do it.
I think yesterday will mean very little if we can't follow it up again on Tuesday night against our good friends at Grimsby Town. I think we really need to use this to push on and get some decent home form and beat some teams that are sort of in and around us.
Yeah, definitely. We're going to look ahead to the Grimsby game following. But do you reckon that Colin Calderwood has any idea which his best side is? And I think the answer to this question is yes. Should he know that by now?
I'm not sure he does know his best team. And I think part of that maybe down to the fact that we've been a bit unlucky with injuries. Like Carruthers has been out for a fair few weeks now with that hamstring injury. We've not seen much of Dan Jones. We had Jabbo, but we've obviously lost him for the season. I don't think he knows his best lineup. I think like yesterday was obviously the first time we tried this sort of 3-4-2-1 sort of formation, so he's still experimenting, he's still trying players in different positions. It's positive that we saw Hannant on the right hand side for the first time in a while yesterday. I think it was really encouraging to see both him and Dunk playing. That showed a real attacking intent. A special mention for Luke Hannant before I forget, because I think he's going to turn into a really crucial player for us this year. I'm not sure he fully knows his best options up top as well. This was the first time we've had basically a lone striker. I know we had sort of two attacking players supporting him. I don't think he knows his best lineup, but maybe we're getting closer to it.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, like you say, certainly at this level, kind of injury and, you know, lack of numbers might define who you play and when you play them.
Actually, just on injuries, thinking back to the game yesterday, I think Maris going off injured was quite a turning point for the formation as well. I think we looked more dynamic having Luke Hannant go into that central three, and it seemed to encourage more pace and more running from the middle. And I think that was quite crucial because it meant that we were getting forward to support Smith in numbers and quicker in going about it. So, yeah, I, that's another sort of indication that perhaps he doesn't know his best lineup, because he started with Maris in that sort of deeper role, and swapping that out had positive sort of implications to the result.
Absolutely. Interesting to see that. So obviously a really positive result on Saturday, and not too many criticisms to take from it. But if we rewind a little bit and look back to Cambridge United's previous home game, Saturday the 5th, that was against Macclesfield Town, and we've mentioned it fleetingly, but a 2-2 draw, kind of grasping from the jaws of defeat again after being ahead. And Cambridge United, as you said, Jordan, probably should be beating a team like Macclesfield. So what do we think went wrong in that game?
Too passive again. Rose's early goal kind of was probably the worst thing for us, because we just relaxed into the game. We didn't really have a lot of impetus after that, and then two goals in 4 minutes from Macclesfield really just completely just turned the game on its head. We then had to kick into gear again.
Yeah, what do we think about Cambridge's, this home form curse has kind of been dispelled by yesterday's result, but there is still a question about why Cambridge United, one, can't hold on to leads, and two, kind of capitulate so easily.
I think one of the big problems with the Macclesfield game was that we've touched on it about how it worked out against Exeter, but against Macclesfield we seem to struggle to find the right formula for our midfield and our five across the middle there. I think that was probably one of our downfalls against Macclesfield. But then the other downfall was what we've seen in plenty of other games this season, especially Salford and Stevenage away, where we've had opportunities to kill off teams and we just haven't taken it. Yesterday was obviously more positive because we converted those chances, but yeah, I think that was probably one of the big problems against Macclesfield, was not taking advantage when we were on top. And I don't know, we've got questions later in the show from listeners, and some of them are around pushing for a playoff place. Is it possible this year? And I think the answer is, if we're not taking chances, I don't think we will make a playoff spot. But yeah, I think that was the problem against Macclesfield. I think our passing was really bad that day as well, sort of thinking back to it. And we're also a little bit ropey at the back. I'm a fan of Harry Darling. I think he will turn into a very good player for us, but he didn't have his best game against Macclesfield. I seem to remember their second goal came from his side of the pitch, and obviously Salford's winner was Rooney getting ahead of him for a header.
Yeah, so just on that Macclesfield game, we said after the game, and have been saying, this is a team you absolutely need to beat, and I agree. But then we look at the league table, and they're 1 point outside the playoffs and a point better off than Cambridge United. So maybe, that task of Macclesfield isn't as easy as we thought out. We're going to take a full look at the league table later on. But from that game, Tom, there's always question marks surrounding Calderwood's selection, but also his choice of changes that he makes during the game. Not particularly that there was anything dud or great about what he did this day, but what do you think about that?
They all seem to be quite delayed. We'll go on to Salford, but against Macclesfield specifically, not taking Richards off until the 75th minute, you see there. Despite not offering too much, it's fair to say, for the vast majority of the game. It's odd when you're essentially chasing a game at home to not be exhausting all your options in terms of bringing making three subs, bringing players like Maris onto the pitch who have quality somewhere in there, even if it's not always showed this season. It just left a lot to be desired across the whole day, really. I don't think it's the worst example of baffling decisions that we've seen this season, but certainly didn't help.
I think maybe one of the reasons we did well against Exeter yesterday was he finally had the bollocks to drop Mark Richards. He's not had the best last 3-4 weeks. I think Salford didn't have a particularly great game. Macclesfield was pretty ineffective, and to stick up for Richards a little bit, I seem to remember against Macclesfield, although I've tried to sort of block it out of my memory, I seem to remember we were trying to use Mark Richards as a target man, which is obviously not what he is. But yeah, maybe that's one of the reasons we looked a bit more positive and lively yesterday, was that we had the guts to change our sort of top two, top three. Although Richards did have a good cameo when he came on, likewise Dallas.
Yeah, just to shift ever so slightly sideways before coming right back in, Jono, we've had this conversation ongoing from the start of the season. In your opinion, what is Cambridge United's best front line?
It's got to be Sam Smith.
You're going to name yourself in there?
Yeah. Well,
you're known to score at the Abbey.
Well, Nibs and Dallas, he seemingly doesn't trust enough to put in. Ibiro's obviously long-term absentee now.
I don't think we'll ever see him again.
No, I don't.
R.I.P. Jabbo.
It's a real shame. Richards, you probably argue, is part of that, just because of the experience he brings. And I mean, first half of what we've had so far, the first seven or so games, he was certainly a big player for us, both in taking chances and linking things and having the experience up there to kind of help Smith with the burden of doing the kind of dog's work, really, if you will.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's... Just on Sam Smith, great yesterday, absolutely great. The amount of running he did was
phenomenal.
Brilliant. And he's starting to remind me a little bit of one of my all-time favourites. Who I believe is on the lovely new plaque on the back of the NRE, Mr. Martin Butler.
He was
a fantastic striker. He reminds me a bit of him.
Left footed as well.
Yeah.
Do you know what I really like about Sam Smith? He is fuming when he doesn't score.
Yeah.
When, like, yesterday, I think he seems to remember him, like, sort of making a chance out of absolutely nothing. I think he was just on, like, a long ball, brought it down, edge of the area, had a shot across goal. Like, no right for him to even get a shot away there. The keeper managed to tip it around the post.
Is that because there was no one with him?
He was the only player in their half.
And when he got tipped around the post, he was like smashing the floor. He was like fuming that he didn't score. And it's good to see that in a striker. Just wants to be on the end of things and wants to be scoring. So yeah, he was brilliant yesterday. He's been
also,
very, very good for us all season.
Isn't it mental that he scored nothing last season for Oxford?
Yeah,
he played a lot for Oxford last year, or I don't know, maybe they were sub appearances, but he got like no goals. And now he's on, like, what, 5, 6 for us?
Yeah, 6, I think, for the season.
Sean Derry was at Oxford last season. I'm just going to put that out there.
But, yeah, I mean, it's quite often that players come to Cambridge and play terribly and then go on and score, so it's quite nice that someone's come scoring no-goals and scoring goals here. So, you know, I think Cambridge rode that, certainly. We're just going to take a dip down slightly in the positivity scale and look quickly, fleetingly, I think, at the Salford game. A long trip to make for no reward, really. A 1-0 loss for Cambridge United there. And... yeah, Rooney with the winner for a Manchester-based team against Cambridge United. You could forgive, but wrong Rooney and wrong Manchester team.
And they play in red as well.
Yeah, oh yeah, good. What do you think about that?
I mean, Ryan mentioned his name already, but Sean Derry, it struck me as a very Sean Derry kind of performance, like a lot of possession and a lot of good moves, but absolutely no end product in front of goal. People will talk about we had the chances, but they weren't proper chances, in my opinion. They were very sort of half chances, and you know, obviously we didn't take advantage of being on top, but we weren't ever, I don't know, very clear cut on top, and yeah, perhaps didn't deserve to lose, but definitely didn't deserve to win.
Yeah, fair play. I think that was pretty much the reaction from most. Tom, question for you. Was it worth flying all the way back from Prague for?
Probably not. in hindsight, probably not.
But pretty.
Although, to be fair, it's probably better than the England match the night before.
But, yeah, I was going to say that's a pretty good feat of watching football actually for you over that few days. So what was it? Friday in Czech Republic.
Yeah.
Saturday in Salford.
Yeah.
And was it Tuesday in Sofia?
Monday in Sofia.
An impressive three-country, five-day round trip. I like that.
Yeah.
I think that's 4 days, isn't it? Yeah, okay. That's good, but yeah, no, congrats on that. Sorry that Cambridge let you down on that.
That's all right, don't apologise.
Well, you know, I feel for you, mate.
Whose fault was it, though?
Whose fault was what?
Cambridge not beating Salford.
Colin Calderwood's, plain and simple. Another point of the running order there. I was absolutely baffled watching that game just after we went 1-0 down that it took him so long to make a change. It was honestly so confusing. I think it was the 90th minute that you bring Dallas on. Waiting that long to make a change anyway is ridiculous in itself. But when you're bringing a striker on for 2 minutes, what did he expect him to do? What's he expecting him to change and come on and actually make a difference in 2 minutes? It's pretty outrageous, really.
I've got a little theory. And some players have, like, appearance things, don't they? But some of them don't apply to minutes. Some of them just mean you need to play in that game.
What, bonuses or?
Yeah, I guess. Or maybe he just wanted to. There cannot be any sense in putting him on. Like, he didn't send him on to change the game.
I mean, the thing is, I feel for him a little bit, because to be honest, the football that we were playing before their goal was actually all right, to be honest. And I mean, like you said, you're nothing too clear cut in terms of chances created, but the way that we sort of moved the ball around the box, it looked sort of reasonably promising. But as soon as they scored, we seemed to lose our heads. You know, it was back to kind of pumping it up top to Richards, who wasn't winning a lot in the air, Smith, who was sort of running himself into the ground, chasing sort of lost causes. And it was crying out for a substitution for, you know, the whole game. And by the time he actually made it, the game was gone. And that's kind of what we've talked about all season, that, it's costing us. And it feels not great, you know, talking about that off the back of a 4-0 win against Exeter at home. But that's exactly the sort of game where a better team would go there and win. You know, Forest Green went there and won 4-0. Forest Green are, you know, doing well this season, but they're not the best team that's ever played the game. Salford looked, to me, there for the taking. And, like I say, a better team comes away with, at the very minimum, a point, but most would go there and win. And if we're talking about playoff pushes and are we going to be good enough to finish in the top seven, that's the sort of game you'll look at and say that's why we're not in there.
Yeah, it was a very mediocre mid-table performance and result, wasn't it? I think Tom's being polite about Salford. I thought they were very bad, considering the money and budget that's involved with them.
Yeah.
I think the general consensus is they've got like a load of good individuals, but they're not particularly cohesive as a team.
Yeah, I mean, if we'd had a player like Rooney up front, he would have put our half chances away, and we'd have won that. Or if Richards had been in form, for example, we go and win that 1-0 or 2-0. So up.
It's the problem with a guy like Mark Richards, though, isn't it? We've said it a lot on here that he's one of those players at this point in his career where, if he's not scoring those half chances and if he's not making more out of them, then what's he really doing on the pitch?
Mm.
And it's at that point where you think, right, well, he's not offering that, so let's bring him off. And that's what Calderwood didn't do. And it kind of leads me to believe that, and it might be a little bit harsh, that Calderwood's an excellent coach, because you look at the football that we play, the possession that we keep, and it's, you know, pretty positive, really. But the decision making leads me to think that maybe he's not the right man to be in a number one position. And that might be harsh, but results and the way that games have gone have kind of backed that up, really, a little bit. But again, we'll see how it goes. And, you know, yesterday against Exeter, as good a point as any to maybe almost start again sort of midway into the season.
Yeah, sorry, Colin, if you're listening.
He won't be listening.
Considering the news about Jabbo, am I right in thinking Richard is only here till January?
Yeah,
at the moment.
Considering that Jabbo's not going to be around, if tomorrow was January 1st, would you keep Mark Richards on to the end of the season? Yeah. I know it's hard to say, because obviously we don't know between now and actual January, like, if form will change and injuries will happen. But I'm just thinking, if you're no longer going to have that target man big presence that Jabbo was, and thinking about a tight budget, would you maybe move Richards on to bring in a different style of striker? Like, I don't know. I feel like a Dallas and a Nibs in support of Sam Smith gives us something, whereas maybe Richards and Smith isn't as dynamic, and maybe move Richards on and bring someone a bit simpler in who could play as a target man might be a better use of a limited budget.
I think we should probably keep hold of Richards, just because of the form he showed when he was scoring goals for us.
Mm.
If we can get even half of that, he's going to be of some value, even if it's just in a kind of supporting role, because it's going to leave a lot of a burden on Smith.
Yeah,
with Dallas and Nibs seemingly not ready yet. I mean, you only had to look at the Salford bench. We had Dallas and Nibs as our only kind of attacking options, because we had four defenders and a keeper as the other options on the bench. And I just like the way that Richards can help Smith and give him both guidance in terms of the way he should be playing and just chatting to him during games and stuff.
I think Richards is a very good option for situations a bit like yesterday, where if you are going into, say, the last 20 minutes winning, or even if you're going into the last 20 minutes drawing or chasing the game, I feel like he's a good option to throw on, because he has obviously got that experience and that sort of maybe more of a poacher's kind of sort of outlook at attacking, and we'll get into those positions and maybe score your sort of your tap-ins or whatnot. But I don't know. I would possibly consider changing him just because I think having a plan B and just having a lump up top is not the worst tactic to have in League Two. So one vote each, Tom. You've got the casting vote.
Yeah, mate. I was going to say, this is
Richard,
this is
yes or no in January.
He stays or he goes. I like having this power. I think if you ask me now, I'd probably keep him. I'd probably be looking to replace Jabbo anyway, as harsh as it seems, with him being out injured, but doesn't do much good to us on the pitch. Probably keep Richards. Again, it's about how much pressure you're under to actually start him and have him as your central sort of figure. And that's why perhaps you bring in somebody else to sort of, you know, in that kind of target man role to maybe play up alongside Smith. Because ultimately, I think now it seems more obvious it's about getting the best out of Smith rather than getting the best out of anyone else in the team.
Mm-hmm. Seems weird saying it, considering it's the 20th of October, but based on where we are so far, what are we, 13 games into the season? What do you reckon we would need to pick up in January? If, as long as like no one obviously gets injured from here till then, is there any sort of position that's sort of crying out? You know, I'm thinking maybe another attacking option on the wing.
Yeah, that's the only one that I would be thinking sort of specifically. I mean, it depends on what the formation is going to be going forward. If it's going to be three at the back, then
I think he's sticking with 3-5-2, isn't he? Like. Or 3-4-2-1 or whatever.
I think the idea seems to be to stick with the three at the back, but have someone who can kind of use the ball quite nicely. I think that's ideally going to be Carruthers kind of sitting, and then have two sort of runners going alongside him. A bit like England did at the World Cup in 2018, where you have like Henderson sitting, and then you have Ali and Lingard or two others sort of going alongside them. We've probably been a bit unlucky with injuries in that regard, but in January, although it is a little bit early, that's the only area that kind of screams out to me is that we don't have in the squad at all.
Yeah, just have some tactical flexibility going forward, because if three at the back isn't working for whatever reason, or we have several centre-halves get injured, heaven forbid, then having that flexibility then to play a 4-4-2 or to play actual wingers out and out could be quite helpful. I mean, you look at Tom Knowles, he's not been getting a sniff of anything to get on, even on the bench.
He's gone off on loan, hasn't he?
He's gone to Chelmsford. So that says everything you need to know about what Calderwood's plan is for the formation going forward for the next month or two.
Absolutely. So Cambridge sitting 2 points outside the playoffs, welcoming Grimsby to the Abbey on Tuesday night. We're going to look ahead to that and all the other games. We're going to talk about the FA Cup, and then we're also going to take your questions. Under the Abbey Stand, we're going to look ahead now to Cambridge United's next two games in October and a busy November with some interesting fixtures in there. Starting chronologically, Cambridge United on Tuesday night welcome Grimsby Town, an old Cambridge United rivalry, but an old UTAS rivalry, fueled by Tom Walker's hatred of Grimsby. He hates the Mariners and he tweets about it.
Has opinions on their manager as well.
Yeah. I've got nothing against Grimsby. They mean nothing to me.
Which end are you going in, Jack?
I think I'll probably come in. Well, no, I'll probably go in the Grimsby end, actually, just because, you know, it's a long time since I've seen my mate's family. But none of me supporting Grimsby in that end.
The look of disgust in this,
Jono,
in this side of the studio at you right now,
Jono,
mate.
Is,
yeah. Do you want to rethink that answer?
We've got Carlisle at the end of the month as well.
Oh, God, I know. I won't be in the Carlisle end there. I'll be.
You won't go to Carlisle.
No,
I can think of several times where you're like, "Yeah, I'm well up for Carlisle," and then never go.
Well, it's only been like three or four times that could possibly have happened, and it's happened every time. Anyway, so looking at the league table, Grimsby are in the bottom half. They started the season quite well, but they've lost three on the bounce and aren't looking too hot. So, is now a good time to play Grimsby?
Part of me says yes because they just got battered by Orient. But part of me says no because they just got battered by Orient.
Mm.
So
yeah, 2-4-0 wins either way. You know it's going to be a 0-0.
It's always a tight one against Grimsby, and it never goes the way you expect it. And this could be certainly. We've seen some tight games on Tuesday nights against Grimsby. It's quite a regular one actually.
We have a history as well around when there's like promotions going on, whether it be like kids go free or students go free,
yeah.
to then mess up when you've got a few extra 100 people in a ground for the first time. So you've got to possibly factor that one in.
Makes Moosenet harder as well.
It does. I scored 0 points yesterday.
I got one.
Yeah, one attendance point zero. For me.
Millsy got 7 points. I don't know how he managed
that. He's a weirdo with that. Sometimes. I swear he used to put Jake Carroll a score every week last year.
But I just think it's fundamentally crucial that we follow up the good result and the good performance against Exeter on Tuesday night. I'm sort of cautiously delighted about how well Saturday went, but I'd feel a lot better if we followed it up with a nice solid 2-0 win on Tuesday.
Yeah, I'm going to put you all on the spot. So as Jordan said, it's students get a free ticket to go to the website for that. But yeah, we're all going to be there. What do we? I want score predictions from everyone. Jordan, firstly with you.
2-1, Cambridge.
Ooh. Jono?
Yeah, 2-1, Ryan Bird, we're both.
Ryan Bird, yeah, like that.
1-1.
1-1.
Ooh. 1 each.
Ever on the fence. I'm also going to go 1-1. But yeah, so that's that'll be an interesting one. And then
I like the last time we did predictions on the pod, didn't we get like September completely wrong?
Yeah.
We were saying that we wouldn't score any at all, and then
that was a really difficult month.
9 or 11 points or something.
Yeah. Right, and then the weekend, Saturday the 26th, Cambridge travel to Northampton Town. Should be an interesting game there, of course. Northampton.
In a non-EFL capacity as well.
Yeah, non-EFL capacity. We don't talk about that rubbish on here.
The last time when we did like 20 minutes on it.
We did quite a long time on it, yeah. Northampton Town are a pretty similar nick to Grimsby as well. They've only actually got one loss in five, but you'd fancy Cambridge United to still have a chance going to Northampton, and certainly if they can get 4 or 6 points from these two games, they'll be looking towards the playoff places.
Yeah, got a good record at Northampton as well, so hopefully we should keep that up.
Yeah, we've not lost against them in a proper competition for like 15 years, so fully expecting us to go there and lose now. Oh, I said that, served me right.
Good.
I really struggle to see positive results from both Grimsby and Northampton. I just can't fathom that that's going to happen, sadly, because obviously, you know, it looks like it's very possible that Cambridge could do quite well out of these games, but it just seems to be a very Cambridge thing to either pace Grimsby and then
I'm a bit surprised by Northampton because Keith Curl signed a lot of players in the summer, didn't he, for Northampton? Like, loads of players. So I'm a bit surprised they're not, I don't know, higher up the league than they are.
I think that there's a weird thing in League 2 where if you do your business early, no matter how good it is, people expect that you're going to do really well. And that's what Northampton did. They didn't do...
Like when we signed Barry Corr really early.
Yeah. Well, yeah, exactly. We ended up finishing, like, 17th. Like, just because you do early business doesn't mean it's any good. And that's kind of proved be how it is. And I think there's probably still question marks about Keith Curl, whether or not he's a sort of manager who can actually get a team to really perform at this level. I think he's been at Mansfield, Notts County and Carlisle now in this league, and I think barring the one season where Carlisle sneaked into the playoffs, he's never really achieved anything. So I think, yeah, I mean, it's weird in League 2 as well, because there seems to be probably down until Walsall in 19th, teams who are probably in the same situation to us, where we think if we can just sort of click a little bit, we'll get into the top seven. Northampton very much in there, and Grimsby as well. Interesting couple of games, and a bit like September, this is the sort of month which will tell us sort of where we are, where we can expect to be.
I mean, yesterday beating Exeter just shows how open the league is. So, yeah, you're right. There's quite a few teams that are still sort of thinking, oh, if we can just pick up a little bit of form, we could be contenders. I'm sorry, I'm just looking at a photo of Keith Curl. We'll have to tweet it.
Him
in the summer with his sort of summer hat on. It's hard to take him serious.
Outrageous.
I don't know.
What would you call that, a beach hat?
Well, it looks like a cricket hat.
Yeah, it's a cricket hat.
I don't know many people from the Carlisle point of view have much good to say about him. Like, he had...
He was there for a long time, wasn't he?
He was, so he did quite well, but then was also just kind of, you know, flatlining for a long time, just not really moving anywhere, and they didn't, you know, they liked him as a person, but not particularly as a manager, and I think, yeah. But like you say, there's about, you know, 15 teams in this league that will fancy themselves to, you know, get promoted or nick a playoff place, and of course, 15 doesn't go in 7 particularly well. So we'll see. But looking ahead to November, Cambridge United on the second Saturday, the second, hosting Crawley in their first game of November there. That could be an interesting one. Crawley, just that team that just are always there or thereabouts. But
13th.
Yeah. Cheers, Tom. Tom basically pulled me out of a hole there because I couldn't find them in the league.
13th is quite high for Crawley.
Is that there or thereabouts?
They're normally sort of bottom five, aren't they?
They've done very well at home so far this year. So hopefully they'll continue poorly away from home.
Yeah, fingers crossed. It would be good to get November off to a good start because then there's games coming thick and fast. Two trophy games. Sandwich, FA Cup first round weekend. We're going to come on to that and do a little bit of a prediction surrounding that. Then Saturday the 16th, a trip to Walsall. That's going to be a tough trip, even with Walsall being where they are in the table. We earmarked that as quite a nice away day, didn't we, Tom?
Yeah, lovely. First time we've played there in God knows how long. Have we played there before?
We played there years and years ago.
18 years ago.
We mentioned Martin Butler earlier. I'm pretty sure we signed him from Walsall, didn't we?
Sounds about right.
And I think Richard Money managed there. Didn't he get them promoted at one point?
Yes, he did, yeah.
And that's all I know about Walsall.
Good. It's near Birmingham, isn't it?
Yeah, you can see it from the M6 every time. But,
any facts about Walsall, Tom?
Not really.
Okay.
No.
That's okay. You do your revision for next time. And then end November with a trip to Carlisle, as we said, 23rd of November before.
Any facts about Carlisle, Jack?
It's just full of legends.
I hear it's bigger than London.
It is bigger than London. The city's boundaries make it the biggest city in the UK. Because they forgot to make any boundaries, basically. So it stretches just like for miles and miles. It's mad.
Have they got an airport?
They have got an airport. It's just recently opened commercially. You can fly from London Southend.
Can you really?
You can.
Didn't they used to have a bridge that you could walk over to get to Scotland?
Yeah, they did.
They had to shut it because people kept getting drunk and falling off.
That is a true story. It's just by Port Carlisle, I think, that bridge.
So Jack is from Carlisle, if you haven't realised.
Yeah.
And over what, 5 years of knowing you, got all the good Carlisle facts from you.
There's some great Carlisle facts. We could maybe do a pod all about Carlisle facts if you wanted.
Yeah, that'd be very shit.
And then if Cambridge were to get through, the final weekend of November would be FA Cup second round, so certainly an interesting it's shaping up interestingly, and we could be on the next pod looking at Cambridge in the playoffs, or we could be looking at them in mid-table obscurity, but certainly the next few weeks is going to be quite important.
It's a bit sad that as it stands there's only one home game in November.
Yeah,
for those that don't travel or go to away games, it'd be a bit of a quiet one.
Get yourself up to Carlisle then.
Yeah, 7:45 at Euston should be packed.
Get on that, yeah.
Jam-packed.
The Pendolino, get yourself up there. Do a nice... it's a nice trip going through the lakes, isn't it? You lads have done it a few times. Don't know if you'll be able to remember that by that point, Tom.
Apparently so.
Yeah. You're usually...
Fast asleep.
Yeah, fast asleep. very good, right.
Was it Carlisle away where you once got on the train with a player? No? On the way back?
David Ford.
Oh, yeah, he was on the train.
Yeah,
he was. There was also the whole Dover Athletic team, including Ryan Bird and Adi Aziz.
Had they been at Barrow that day?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, that sounds
Adi Aziz right. Tried to avoid our gaze at every opportunity.
We didn't know he was there. Oh, Adi Aziz, I think he was actually a Cambridge player at that point.
Yeah, he was online.
Good times.
Gone but not forgotten. Anyway, just before we wrap things up with the questions, looking at the FA Cup first round, the draw is tomorrow, I believe.
Monday night, yeah.
Monday night.
Yep, 7 o'clock.
It was going to be from Royston if they could win, but they didn't yesterday, sadly. They lost to Maldon Tiptree, was it?
Sounds about right.
Yeah.
You're dead to me, Crows.
Yeah, lost 3-1 to Maldon and Tiptree, so their FA Cup journey is over. So Jordan and Julian were talking about this on the phone and came up with predictions of who they think Cambridge United are going to get.
Mm-hmm.
And Julian went for Cheltenham.
Yep.
Jordan went for Doncaster away.
Yeah, so my thinking was we'd get a shit draw. We'd get like a really tough League One team, but not like a good day out League One team, like an Ipswich away or a Sunderland or something like that. So we won't go on TV,
mm-hmm.
and we'll definitely get pasted. That was my optimistic thoughts on this year's FA Cup adventures for Cambridge United.
Jono, what do you reckon?
I think we'll have an awkward one like Bromley at home or something.
I'll take that.
That could, but we all remember back to last season, of course. our FA Cup journey.
God, what was it, Guiseley?
Guiseley. Yeah. Ended 4-3 in the end. But
did anyone go to that?
Cambridge.
Yeah.
Tom?
Yeah. I tried to block it out.
Remember.
Sleepless nights.
Tom, what do you reckon?
I'd like a bye.
I would love that. We were talking about this. Like, would you take being... so? Because Bury aren't in the draw this year, there's an odd number. So would you take being the last team out of the pot, which gets you the bye into the second round, plus money, like the same amount of money that you get for winning a game, would you take that, or would you take like a really big, juicy draw, like an Ipswich away or a Borough away or, Portsmouth or Sunderland, something like that would get some attention?
I'd probably lose. A big club. Be nice, but if we were to get the bye, I think the only downside of that would be if we were to win every game between now and then, just losing a bit of momentum potentially by having the break.
Yeah, there is that, but yeah, I think on the whole, I think Cambridge would take it. I mean, you know, any money coming in is a good thing for the club. Mm. Tom, do you reckon?
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, I'd definitely take it. But we'll see. Some interesting. I reckon that Cambridge United are going to get drawn Dulwich Hamlet away. I'm going to go for that.
I like that as well.
Club, yeah, one for the football hipsters there.
They sell brilliant Jamaican patties there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'd be good to have an away day there. It's all the rage on Twitter. I've been keeping track of it. So, yeah, it'll be interesting. Right, finally, before we wrap things up, we've got your questions. Thanks for being in touch. They're kind of linked and similar, but we're going to start with one from Patrick Bartram, who says, how likely is an extension on Rolls' loan, and can Smith be recalled by Reading? So one of those questions is opinion-based and one of them is fact-based.
I don't know the details of Smith's loan, if there's a recall or not. We've got him all season, I think.
Yeah.
Got him to the end of the season if he's not called back. Carry on playing like this, I think Reading might consider calling him back.
Certainly because they're doing quite badly this season.
Yeah, they've just changed their manager, haven't they? Yeah. The director of football sacked the manager and installed himself, so
yeah,
it was an interesting move.
It's yeah, probably a dream team that.
Yeah, Reading could be an interesting place to be, so yeah, Sam Smith isn't guaranteed. But Rolls just seems to be finding his feet, doesn't he?
Yes, I think we've only got him until January, haven't we? He wasn't as long a one. I'd like to see his loan extended, but I wonder if Spurs will be looking at it and going, he's playing well in League 2, could we then maybe push him to a League 1 or Championship club and test him at that level?
Or get him in the team, because Spurs are playing absolutely awfully at the moment.
I don't know. I don't think he will have a Premier League career. Sounds pretty...
I know what you mean.
Sounds pretty pessimistic, doesn't it? I think he'll follow like the Ryan Ledson kind of career path, and he'll, I don't know, after finishing his time with us, we'll go to League 1 and then end up in the Championship fairly quickly. And I think Ledson's still in the Championship, isn't he, with Preston?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, any further words on Jack Rolls?
Yeah, I think it makes sense to keep him. He's still very young. Just, as you say, finding his feet in the Football League.
Scores
a club where he's doing pretty well. Yeah, keep him.
Yeah, I think if it doesn't get extended, it won't be our choice, certainly.
Yeah, interesting to see what happens with Jack Rolls. And
that's really good from us, by the way.
Sam Smith. Yeah.
We had a opinion-based question and a fact-based question. We speculated about them both.
Yeah, which is great. Which is all we ever do. We sit.
What do you think is his best position, Jack Rolls? 10 or central, or more sort of centre mid?
Oh, I like him a bit further forward.
Keeper.
Yeah. Do you think he's our best 10? Just thinking, everyone seems to have played there this season apart from Maris. Like, Lamb's played there, Lewis has played there, especially like earlier in the season.
Yeah, he probably is, just because of his sort of technical ability.
I do like Paul Lewis in that role, though.
Yeah.
Really like
him. I think I like Paul Lewis in that position because I don't like him further back. He seems to, I don't know, not be in games as much. He was quite quiet against Exeter and he's been quiet the last few weeks. I think he splits opinion in centre mid.
Yeah, he's definitely not a defensive midfielder in terms of his ability to make a tackle. He's just a walking yellow card in that role, unfortunately, which miraculously he didn't manage to pick up yesterday. So yeah, I think he's really good in the old kind of Lampard-esque role where he arrives late to the box. That's where he picked up his goals first part of the season. Mm-hmm. Got a few assists as well, but had to also deputise for O'Neill in the holding role, which limited him a bit.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, interesting to see how Jack Rowles' Cambridge career and also subsequent career goes, because, yeah, he's got great potential, but I know what Jordan means. Jay and Jack Beaton have both been in touch asking the same question, really. Can we challenge for a playoff push, or is mid-table finish more realistic? We've kind of touched on it, but, you know, this is early to call it, but we are starting to get into that point in the season now where things are taking shape. 2 points off the playoffs isn't a bad place. I think you would have taken that at the start of the season.
Definitely.
Absolutely.
Anything better than last year. Can't go through that again.
I just think we're too average. I just think there's too many question marks at the moment to say that we can be a team in the playoffs. You know, like we said, games like Salford away, you can look back earlier in the season, the game against Oldham sticks out specifically. Macclesfield as well, you know, you're dropping quite easy points there, and that's what, you know, the teams that finish in the top seven probably won't be doing. I know you don't have to be great to get in the top seven, but you've just got to have that bit of consistency, and that's something that we haven't really had. So that's, you know, there's still plenty of time. You know, it is only 2 points difference, but I've got big question marks. Big question marks.
Yeah, I'd have to echo that. I think we're very mediocre at the moment. As brilliant and as wonderful as the Exeter game was, the 3 games, 4 games before that, 5 games before that, we've had numerous opportunities to put teams away, and we've not, either because we've not taken chances or we've not created very clear-cut chances. And I don't know, if we continue it like that for the rest of the season, I think we would probably miss out on the players. We'll be like a higher upper mid-table perhaps, but we probably won't have enough for the playoffs. But I don't know, you know, if tomorrow is a springboard to then go on a run and maybe find a formation that gets the best out of people, then perhaps maybe there is potential there to be, you know, in that chasing pack come the end of the season. I doubt it at the moment, but I guess the league is fairly open this year. There doesn't really seem like anyone's running away with it at the moment. Everyone seems able to beat everyone. Teams who in previous years have been not particularly great seem to be doing okay as well. We talked about Macclesfield. So I don't know, it's a close League Two this season, so, you know, if it continues like that for the rest of the season, it'll be interesting to see who is in that top seven.
Certainly. So yeah, thanks to Jack Beaton and Jay for that. Before we finish up the questions, Will Fellows has tweeted in saying, what's our best formation / starting 11 with all players fully fit? We did this last pod and we went through it, but Jono, you weren't here, so in your opinion, from goalkeeper to strikers, what is our best starting 11 and what formation would you like?
I think I'd probably stick with the 3-5-2, just because of what we've got on the wings and a lack of players. I think obviously Mitov is the number one. I did really, really like Noyle as the right side of the three.
Me too.
And I like Taft in that left-hand side of role because I think he offers quite a good outlet to kind of back up the left wing back. The centre of the three is up in the air. Ward really, really impressed me yesterday. But you've also got Taylor, who is obviously Mr. Cambridge at the moment. And I think I'd probably give Ward the nod over him at the moment. O'Neill, I think, has to be in the midfield for me. I really like O'Neill. I think he's been excellent for us this season, even though he's been taken off in 7 of the 9 games he's played, which is a bit frustrating. But I think Lewis has got to be in there. And I think probably Rolls gets the nod. Wingbacks of Dunk and Hannant. And then Smith certainly up top. And I'd probably have Reggie Lamb playing off him, as he did yesterday. Because I think Lamb has been really quite good in the last few weeks. He's shown a lot of maturity, a lot of experience in the way he's played. Especially against Macclesfield, he was playing almost the deep-lying playmaker, which you certainly wouldn't associate with Reggie Lamb playing in before.
Would you play him left wing back again?
Do you know what? I'd rather not.
Yeah,
I think that's probably not his forte. But no, I think Lamb in that kind of free role off the front is probably his best position for us, and we haven't really seen it. So I'd like to see that more.
It'd be interesting to see if we stick with the 3-4-2-1, because obviously the running thing at the start of the season was we had 5 strikers. Admittedly, we're down to 4 now with Jabbo being out for, I'm guessing, the season. But it seems a bit kind of ironic that the year that we have lots of striking options, we stick to a we go with a formation where you only have one up top. I know obviously it gives you options off the bench if you're chasing games or whatever, but I don't know, there were parts of yesterday where having sort of two having six midfielders and two sort of behind the striker worked quite well. There are also points when Smith did seem a bit isolated, but it'd be interesting to see if he sticks with that for the next few games or if he sticks with that at home, as it's more attacking than the 3-5-2. It'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see when Dan Jones is back as well, if he takes Dunk's place or not.
I don't think the point last season was ever about having one up top. It was about not having that ability to change things if it was needed, and also the quality of the personnel that we had. And that's kind of been corrected. So if we're playing with one up front with three strikers on the bench, you think that's sort of okay, rather than the other way around, where it's like, you know, one up top with no strikers on the bench, or an unfit Barrick or an Adi Aziz or someone like that. So it's all right.
Yeah, this season we've got the midfield supporting the striker, so I'm not so worried about having one up top when we play it, because Lewis gets in there well, Rolls gets in and around it, Lamb, Maris, they all support well.
Well, what I meant was it's just kind of ironic that, you know, this would be the season where you do have strikers sitting on the bench or strikers being unhappy in the stands if they did stick with just having one up top, because we've got four strikers or five strikers, unlike the season before where we started with three and it soon went down to one because Cor and Jabbo were out for a while.
Two loans, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting stuff. I mean, we can talk about it till the cows come home. There's no definitive answer until Cambridge start pacing people with a clean sheet every week. But things may be looking up cautiously, we can say that. And then after Tuesday's game against Grimsby, we can reassess again. Before we go, Northampton away, 26th of October, isn't the only game happening that day involving Cambridge United.
No.
Jono, tell us more.
The fans team are playing away at Northampton in the morning. And that'll probably be like a 10:30 kickoff. If anyone fancies getting involved, I'm sure we'll have room in our squad for you, because we regularly get stuck down to 11 because people drop out last moment, don't they, Jack?
Mate, if Swindle can get in the team, anyone can.
I've done my bit. Tom Walker's famed for scoring a very good goal at Bury a couple of seasons ago.
The greatest ever goal. Full stop.
It gets talked about almost every game that we play.
I don't like to bring it up, Jack.
No. I know. That's very noble of you.
That's for you.
How do we get in touch? What's the Twitter handle for the fans team?
The fans team Twitter is Abbey United IFC. You can drop us a tweet or you can get in touch with the UTES lads. I'm sure they'll forward it on to me if needs be.
Oh, don't put this on us, mate.
Yeah.
We struggle running a pod and a fanzine. We can't run your team as well.
You're the only one not to make appearance yet.
Yeah, Jordan.
Mate, I played for Abbey United years ago. Ask Richard French. It was Mansfield away and we got an absolute beating. I think it was one of the very first Abbey United games.
You're really selling yourself here, Jordan.
Yeah.
So you're ready for a comeback, yeah?
What a front three that'd be. Or front four when Julian gets back.
Well, yeah.
But Julian is shit.
Yeah.
Loves a fail throw.
Edit that out.
that makes me happy. We're Abbey at Abbey Stand Pod is our Twitter handle as well. Should probably give that out. Thanks for all your questions. It's been a roller coaster ride, it's very good. Tom Walker, thank you for joining us.
That's okay, mate. Anytime.
Jordan Warland, thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
And special guest Ryan Johnson, thank you very much.
Thank you.